The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, welcome once again to God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski with Father Eric Garris today. Father, you've had a few jobs in your fairly short time as a priest, 5 years. First of all, welcome to God Calling.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Father, let's talk about your vocation. Did you always have a little inkling, or did it grow over time? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I think there's always been a little bit of an inkling, and It grew over time. So I grew up at Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Wycliffe, and we had good priests that were there as kids. I remember always the priest would come into the school, and we'd all stand up in unison and do our "Good morning, Father whoever," you know, so just kind of going through. But as a kid, I was a pretty rambunctious kid, and probably still to this day, a little bit rambunctious in the way that I go about life. But I remember having moments of immense just peace and sacredness and solemnness. We would do like Stations of the Cross, and we would end with benediction, and there was always something there that was drawing. And in the same way, too, we always went to Sunday Mass as a family, and there was the opportunity just to kind of look and say, what is going on over there? What's the priest doing? So as much as the priest was kind of like this mysterious figure off behind the altar, we also had a good family friend who was a priest. Father Jack Anderson was the pastor of St. Anselm's in Chesterland, where my mom had grown up and a lot of my family had grown up, and was very much a part of the family. It would be at family parties, kind of all that stuff. So as much as the priest was a man of mystery, there was the humanity that was there, and there was an attraction that was there. But as I got older, my priorities had shifted. I would say that going into high school, my top three things I wanted to do were look cool, have fun, and look cool while I had fun. And I really didn't know what I wanted to do with life.
Yeah.
And just kind of went through that mode of doing what I was doing or doing what I thought everyone else was doing. I had thought about the Coast Guard for a little bit. I hated school, and I knew that I didn't necessarily want to like go to school and get a degree just because everyone was doing that. And I saw a movie where Ashton Kutcher was in the Coast Guard and he jumped out of airplanes and he saved people's lives. And I thought, that's something I'd like to do. But during my senior year of high school, I encountered Jesus in a very real and powerful way as being a real person, and who desired a relationship with me, which led me on a path of discovering more fully who God is and who I was, and in the midst of that, who God was calling me to be. And part of that was asking the question, just as I did as a kid, like, could I give priesthood a shot? And went to the seminary, and I entered seminary with no idea that I would have gotten ordained, but I think part of it was just having an immense openness to who God was and how God was engaging me in relationship and how the church was engaging me and how I was applying the gifts that God had given me. It's been 5 years, as you said, and it's hard for me to think of my life not as a priest anymore.
Yeah.
But at this point, people always say like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
Considering a vocation like that.
Sure.
That's not particularly cool.
No.
So how did you justify that? How did you deal with that?
Well, I think part of it was the things that I was doing that I thought were cool, like they weren't bringing peace to my life. Like it was fun. It was joyful, whatever. I played basketball in high school. I had, you know, good friends and all that kind of stuff. But it was a lot of it was about me. And I think part of it was coming to the understanding of like, if you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you. I had people in my life, my parents, family, very much sacrificial people. There was a great priest at my parish when I was in high school. I'm like, he's young and he's happy. What's going on there? I want what he has, but a very self-sacrificing person. So part of it was just coming to the grips with the fact that the things that I thought that were fun were not. And I look at the life that like I live now, I've always had a keen sense of adventure. And St. John Paul II has a great line where he says, life with Christ is an amazing adventure. And I have more fun doing what I'm doing, probably too much fun at times, you know, like, joy and reverence, you know, aren't mutually exclusive, but I love what I'm doing. And part of it, like, I remember telling my friends, like, oh, I think I'm gonna go to the seminary. At first, I didn't really tell them. I just told them I was just going to John Carroll, which wasn't a lie.
No.
And then they're like, well, where are you gonna live? Off campus. Well, with your mom and dad off campus? I'm like, no, I'm going to live in Wycliffe at 28700 Euclid Avenue. They're like, what's that? Borromeo Seminary. Oh, okay. But I they're like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
We see it in you.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I read something one time said one of the most serious misunderstandings about any call to religious vocations is that it's merely one's personal decision.
Sure.
It takes discernment and it can't happen on your own.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
Yeah. And I think part is the recognition that for a long time, I used to think that the things that God wanted for me were in direct competition with the things that I wanted for myself. So it was the sense of, okay, God, you're calling me to do this. And yes, there was a desire to do that. But I think it recognizes that like our true fulfillment comes in doing what God desires for us. And that should bring us joy. And it's not that the things that God desires for us are contrary to the things that we want for ourselves, but that the desires that we have God has placed on our hearts so that he himself can fulfill them in the life that he's calling us to.
Mm-hmm. You went to Lake Catholic. Was that important in your...
It was. Catholic education was important. So I had gone from kindergarten up until, well, right now I'm in school.
Yeah, right.
But I've always been a product of Catholic education. And what I remember most about Lake Catholic was the opportunity to move outside of just the classroom. For me, like Jesus was an answer on a test, whether it was a religion test or a math test. You know, what's the answer? Jesus, you know. Mm-hmm. But they had opportunities where I remember we'd be in class and it'd be a class about prayer. And the teacher's like, well, let's not just talk about prayer. Let's go into the chapel.
Yeah.
And I'm going to lead you through a guided meditation. And, you know, you're sitting in your favorite place and Jesus walks up and says, what's going on? You have a conversation. What do you sense? You know, so, and I, that's really how I pray now, very imaginatively and engaging, you know, that sense of my mind. That was important for me.
I've said this to many guests. Is there a point in your life when you stopped saying prayers and began to pray?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think a lot of it stems from, and I mentioned briefly, like my senior of high school, I went on a life teen retreat. It was fairly new at my home parish. We had done this big kind of district-wide retreat, Lake Jauga district, and it was in adoration, and it was the sense of, even to this day, like I look back, and it's an event that's in many ways shrouded in mystery, but it was something that I knew that what was taking place was very, very real. And what was housed within that monstrance was the infinite God of the universe who loved me, who gave me life, and who desired to bring about redemption and salvation in me. And from that point forward, it wasn't just that like prayer became something I did as much as it was like, I want more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a senior in high school, I'd stop off in my parish's adoration chapel on the way home because it's like, I want that. And it wasn't the emotion of being with other kids, but it was like the true reality that like, this is God.
Right here,
loving me and desiring to be in relationship with me. And I want to be in relationship with that God.
Father Eric Garris is with us. He has got a new job as the assistant vocation director for the Diocese of Cleveland right now. We're going to talk about that and many more things on God Calling right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Stay with us. Thanks for staying with us. This is Paul Orlowski on God Calling with Father Eric Garris. Father, you mentioned the priests when you were in school, grammar school, grade school, coming into the classroom, and that was important. We used to love it when the priest came.
Sure.
We used to always take it to the extreme from the standpoint of we didn't want the priest to leave because we have to go back to our subjects.
Right.
And we didn't want to do that.
Right.
So the questions would get silly. Now, Father, what if you killed somebody and you were on your way to confession and you got hit by a truck and they come up with all these ridiculous things. And then finally at some point in time, the sister would say, Father, thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming. Goodbye.
Goodbye. These kids are getting crazy. But how important is it to see young people in the formation of a younger priest? Now in your new job, you'd be dealing with some young folks as well. But how important to be in that parish school? It just seems to be real rewarding, I would
guess. Yeah. So my first assignment, I was at St. Raphael in Bay Village for 4 years.
Wonderful
and,
parish.
And would oftentimes see Paul at daily mass. One of the great parts about the parish was that the rectory was separate from everything, which meant that I had my own space, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also the sense that I had to walk through the school 20 times a day in order to get over to the office when I was going from here to there and everywhere. And I made it a point. I stopped in the classrooms every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just saying hi. And I think part is like, my title is father, and my fatherhood is not a physical fatherhood, but there is a spiritual fatherhood there.
Sure.
And I want these kids to see and know me as father, as someone who loves them, as someone who cares about them, as someone who wants to know what's going on in their life, as someone who knows what the score of their CYO football game was, you know, just all of that stuff. Because I think one of the great poverties, and this kind of hits on why I'm saying this, like kids need to have people to mentor for them and show what relationship and friendship looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to say, hey, what's up guys? How are you? What's going on? What'd you think of the Cavs game last night? Did you watch the Browns? Like that's human interaction. And I'm not just interacting with them as Father Eric, the priest, but I care about them and I want them to know that. And then I was at St. Gabriel in Concord for a year and made it a point, you know, to welcome the kids every morning and stop in the classrooms and all that kind of stuff, just because, I mean, that gives me life. It's a lot more fun. And I think they started to realize, like, I would leave and go over to the school when I had to get work done. And it was my way of procrastinating because I'm like, I do not want to send this email. I'd much rather go over to the classroom and talk about whatever than have to sit here and respond to this request. The email gets sent, but I need some joy in my life first.
Sure.
And
it's right there.
Yeah, it's right there.
You talked earlier in the program about something I think was maybe more true when I was a kid, and this mysterious priest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't see a priest playing basketball or doing any number of things, brewing beer and a lot of other things.
Yeah.
We know a lot more about our priests, I think, today, and we see them as more human, and they interact more humanly, I think.
Sure.
It was always kind of on a pedestal.
Yeah, and I think there's really been an emphasis ever since St. John Paul II wrote Pastoris Dabovobis, I will give you shepherds. They introduced this whole dynamic of the human formation of the priest. And he has a great line where he said that the humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier.
Hmm.
And so part of it is like, we are human beings, and like me as a priest is not separate from my humanity. But my humanity is a gift just as much as my priesthood is, and I bring the gift of my humanity to the priesthood so that who I am and who Christ is shines forth in me. Jesus mm-hmm. was a human being, and we believe in the incarnation and that God desires to make his dwelling among us. And so there's a big emphasis, at least now, you know, in seminary, talking about human formation and making sure the men are not just able to play basketball, but they're well-rounded individuals who know how to be in relationship with people and know how to engage people, know how to have conversation, know how to be a human being,
mm-hmm.
and not just a function or an office.
People who don't know you might not know this, but the seminarians play the priests in basketball each
sure.
year. And most of the years when you were in the seminary, I think the seminarians won. And now I think the priests win more often.
Well, we never played until I was a priest.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was during seminary we would have the Borromeo St. Mary's game, which
okay.
is Borromeo's the college seminary, St. Mary's the graduate school. And it bounced back and forth, you know. But in the past couple of years, we've played priests versus seminarians. And I forget what our record is, but we're still coming out on top, which is huge because they're a lot younger than us,
yeah.
which means that we're a lot older than them.
Sure.
So last year, we were up by like 8 at halftime. And I'm like, they're going to come out guns a-blazing, you know, and they threw this crazy press on us. And I'm like, we can't keep up with this pace. Like, let's play old man basketball and slow it down, drive the lane, kick it out, you know.
Oh, that's, I read a quote on something, I think it was a blog or something. Competition, comparison, and complacency counteract communion.
I think I know where that quote came from.
Okay.
That was my homily this past week, and I tweeted that out. That was my little snippet. Is that where that came from?
I do some studying.
Research. Yeah, that was competition, complacency, and...
Comparison.
And
complacency counteract communion.
Right. Yeah, that was my...
But you're a competitive guy.
I am. But at the same time, I don't compete... When it comes to competition, St. Paul talked this week, and I've competed well, I've finished the race.
Right.
And he doesn't mean that I've trampled people down on my way to glory.
You know what else it doesn't say? And I was talking to somebody about this the other day. It also doesn't say whether he won or not.
Yeah.
He's finished the race.
Yeah, I finished. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's competition in the spiritual life. Like I said, it's not competing with God or even with other people. Yeah. The sport is a good thing. Sport is different than I'm going to defeat you on the way to
a promotion
or
anything like that. You talked about being adventurous. You say you're the lover of all things random and bizarre.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
I have an affinity for the strange. And part is I love the craziness of the world that we live in. And I don't just mean that by like, oh, the crazy stuff going on. But I love weird documentaries. And I love zeroing in on strange subsects of humanity. You know, like I just find the human being to be fascinating. Sorry. And
what makes people tick?
Yeah. And to see, you know, different people in different regards, it's fun. There's nothing more interesting than human beings. And
you must hear it all in the confessional,
well,
too.
I mean, that,
you can't talk about that.
But I think like to see, the randomness and the strangeness, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Father, stay right where you are. We haven't even talked about the new job yet.
Yeah.
We're going to when we come back on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. Stay with us. Thanks for staying tuned. This is Paul Orlowski on God Calling with Father Eric Garris. And Father, you have a new job. You're the incoming, I guess you're there now,
right.
But vocation director, assistant vocation director. So you're working with Father Mike McCandless?
Correct. Yeah. So Father Mike McCandless has been in the vocation office for about the past 12 years.
Okay.
And he's done an amazing job. We've built up a pretty strong culture of vocations within the diocese. And I think he got to the point where he's like, I'm ready to go back into the parish. And so mm-hmm. He will be the administrator of Holy Family in Stowe, which is actually his home parish.
Oh.
And I will take the reins come January. So I moved into the office back in June and was appointed the assistant director of vocations. My joke is, if there's anyone listening who likes the office, Dwight Schrute used to say that he was not the assistant regional manager, but the assistant to the regional manager.
Okay.
I'm not the assistant to the vocation director. I'm the assistant vocation director. And I've been grateful to have this time to work with Father Mike. Vocations work is a lot different than what I've been used to in the parish.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of here, there, and everywhere, every day, meeting with people, going to parish groups, doing all that different stuff, and promoting vocations, but also very deliberately walking with individuals on the path of discernment. And so, you know, we just talked in the last segment about how I find humanity to be absolutely amazing. Like, for me, it's so fun to like hear someone's story and to hear how mm-hmm. God is engaging and calling this young, not always young, but this person to follow him in a very particular way. It's like getting courtside seats to God's grace in action. You just kind of watch. And
yeah.
It's been great. And I'm looking forward to continuing in this ministry.
Now you're living at the cathedral.
I do, yeah.
Now, is there any truth to the rumor that the bishop just wanted to keep his eye on you?
That might be, yeah, yeah.
that whimsical side of it?
Yeah, yeah. Everyone I've ever lived with was like, does he know what he's getting himself into? I'm like, he will.
Yeah, sooner or later.
Yeah.
Tell me about the young men you're talking to. Phone ringing?
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Okay.
Yeah, so a lot of the people, I mean, majority of vocation ministry has any ministry is building relationships with people. And so Father Mike has pretty extensive relationships with people across the board and has been meeting with people for months or years who have been discerning. And at this point, I'm just kind of coming in and meeting with those people and meeting with new people as well. So I've been meeting with people ever since June. And Father Mike's kind of got something that I keep in the back of my mind is that he says, try to strive for at least 10 hours of FaceTime with discerners a week. So individuals who are discerning, and that could be individual meetings, that could be youth group events, that could be whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it means that, you know, 10 hours is a lot, but not. And but yeah, there's people calling, there's people reaching out saying, hey, Father, I'm thinking about this. what we've seen is just, you know, that there's no normalcy in discernment. there's no cookie cutter candidate. And I think part of it is just realizing the world in which people live is different. And I think in many ways, these young men and young women, I'm mostly meeting with young men, are people who are saying, I want something other than what this world is offering. So it could be some high school students that I'm meeting with. I'm doing discernment groups at St. Ed's, and I'm doing discernment groups at Hoban and Holy Name high schools, and just gathering people together for lunch and having conversation, which then leads to more, you know, individual meetings. And then there's people who have graduated college or in college and saying, I don't necessarily know if I just want to punch the clock from 9 to 5 and do this job. There's got to be something more out there. So it's been fun. And it's been interesting just to see the diversity of people that God is engaging in a very real way.
A lot of discernment is prayer.
Yeah. I would guess. I think part of it is teaching people how to pray and, you know, this God calling, like, well, what does God's voice sound like? Mm-hmm. And what is God saying to you? And where is God inviting you? And how is God speaking in prayer and in the regular moments of your life that you are called to later reflect upon? It's very real, you know, and to walk with someone along that path and to see how the Lord is working in a couple months or whatever.
You probably discerned with Father Mike.
I did not. I was with Father Mike, but Father Mike Gernick, Father Michael Gernick.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, the vocation director at the time.
St. Pat's now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Father McCandless had come in 2010, which I would have been like a junior in college.
Two great guys.
Yeah, yeah.
This may be too early in the game to ask this question, but sometimes there might be a candidate that's thinking about it, but it's like, I don't think so. You know, I don't know if you've come across that yet.
Are you saying that we say I don't think so? Or they say, I don't think so.
At some point in time, it's got to be tough.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, there is a sense there that we're kind of the front lines and you know, meeting with this candidate. And part of it is we do pretty extensive conversations. I mean, by the time if someone says that they'd like to apply or I invite them into application, I've already met with them 6 or 7 times. And we've run the gamut on conversation. You know, pretty quickly on, you get a pulse for who this person is and how do they relate and, you know, what's going on. And if there are things that you kind of sense that would be not necessarily prohibitive, but maybe they need some additional growth, I'll tell them, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. And I tell people, like, I'm not a used car salesman. I don't get a commission for every guy I get in. But if you're called to the seminary, I think you should go. If you're not, I don't think you should go, you know? And I think part is saying, like, you know, looking at what you have going on right now, there's some things that we'd like to see resolved, and this is what we're willing to help you with. Like, we'll get you in touch with this person. We want you to talk this. And it's not the expectation that they enter and they're perfect, but, like, does this person have the ability to receive the formation that the church desires to give to them?
Formation's a nice word, but it sounds like a long, tough road to hoe.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Like
formation.
No, right. No, yeah. Like it's a lot of
years.
Like, right. I mean, I was in seminary for 9 years. So 4 years of college, 5 years of graduate school. And I'm grateful for that time in so many ways to have been formed in that way, but also to be given the opportunity to discern and have people walk with me and help me in that way. Like, it's such a rich thing to receive. What other 19, 20-year-old person has a priest that they're meeting with every 2 to 3 weeks and talking about their life and talking about, you know, like all of that stuff? Like, it is such a great gift. And that's why I said, is this person able to receive? A gift that's given is to be received.
Well, we've got about 30 seconds left, and you're going to be mad at me if I don't give you a chance to say how people can contact you
in
the vocation office.
Yeah, feel free to give me a call. And the vocation office, all of my contact information is online. Our website is clepriesthood.org or .com or .dot something.
All right.
And then feel free to email, call. But yeah, the Diocesan Vocation Office exists for the purpose of helping individuals in discernment. And so that's why I'm here. If you're listening to a God is calling, you have a sense that God is calling. And where do you go now? Call me.
All right. Very good. Father Eric Garris, thanks so much.
Yep.
Appreciate you coming on. And we hope everybody will listen every week at the same time, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.